Will the young people come and join me? We have many today. Oh, it won't be long that you guys are going to be off at creation.
Life,
liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now that's how the Declaration of Independence begins, and that's what we're celebrating today. Don't let anybody fool you. Freedom ought to be celebrated. Freedom needs to be celebrated. You know, so many churches and ministers today think that it is somehow unchristian to celebrate patriotism from the pulpit. I am not one of those pastors. I am fiercely patriotic. And I celebrate with you today the freedoms that God has blessed us with in this great nation of ours. Now, I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. So I can't tell you whether God blessed us with liberty and therefore we are free, or whether our founding fathers wisely built our liberty based on biblical principles and that's why we are free. I don't know. But in any case, our freedom is from God. Now, here comes my pastoral disclaimer. You know, I always have a pastoral disclaimer. Freedom comes with great responsibility. We are not free to live excessive lives. We are not given liberty to pursue selfish gain. Our independence should not make us lawless, crazy people. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. As Paul so wonderfully puts it, well, I mean, he's Paul. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, he says. And what is true for the church is true for the nation. Liberty requires service. Freedom requires righteous behavior. So on this July the 4th, I want to celebrate freedom and service. First, let's just celebrate liberty. The Apostle Paul was a champion of liberty. He traveled throughout the Roman Empire starting churches, and the Galatian church is no exception. And it might even be like the most important church because it was there right in the middle of the empire, and that's where really the message was fought against the worst. You know, and here's what happened. During Paul's missionary journeys, he founded several churches in Asia Minor, what today is the country of Turkey. Now, these converts to Christianity, some of them were Jews living in that area. Other ones of them were Gentiles. They accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the bottom line of Paul's message to them can be found in Galatians 2:16. And here is what it says. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That is a straightforward message of salvation by grace through faith. Now, there were some Christian Jews who believed that Paul had gone way too far in this, and they came in behind Paul, and they told these new converts, well, Paul was right in what he said, but he was really only half right. And they said that the Christian Jews told some Christian Jews, told the new believers, that they are going to have to observe certain ceremonial practices in the Old Testament that were still binding on the church. And the most important one of those, they said, that you couldn't get away without was circumcision. Now, Paul's response to these guys, well, they were called Judaizers. If you ever hear this, that word, that's what they're talking about, these people who were in the church back then and said, oh no, well, it is salvation by grace, but you got to do stuff. The Judaizers, as they were called. Paul's response to them is the book of Galatians that you have in your hand. Now, Paul was furious. I mean, he was not kind. He is very in their face, and he warns, and the warnings that he gives to the followers just resounds. It just echoes down through the generations because we are people that like to work for our salvation. We think that's what we have to do. But in Galatians 5, 2 through 4, he says, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated, or some translated cut off, from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Paul is so upset with the Galatians that he even gets sarcastic. And how he gets sarcastic is the word that is translated alienated, or the word that is translated cut off in some translations, is both used for the act of circumcision and the act of falling from grace. So he's like, okay. In other words, if they observe physical circumcision, they are circumcising themselves from Christ. They are cutting off Christ from their bodies. So he's just, you know, play on words. Paul is not joking around. He is absolutely not kidding about this. He is serious about freedom. And he is upset that Judaizers have come behind him and they're trying to put the church back in bondage again. Now, the framers of our great nation, they were just as serious about their political and religious freedoms. And they did not differentiate between the two, by the way. They were the same to them. And that's why the Declaration of Independence says that liberty is a right endowed not by nature, not somehow just a human right, but it is endowed by God himself. And we have been serious about liberty ever since. Patrick Henry said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Thomas Jefferson, with his characteristic humor, but he was very serious when he said, were it left to me to decide whether we should have government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I would not hesitate a moment to choose the latter. He thought newspapers were more important than government. In other words, freedom of press. That the First Amendment to the Constitution is, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. We are very serious about our freedom. And you want to know why? Because God called us to be free. Now, these words of Paul's, they are very deeply embedded in Christian theology, but they are also the rock on which this country was founded. God is the one who gives humans freedom. We are made in his image, free to live and to think and to act, and he gives us freedom in Christ, freedom from the law, and freedom to be free from our sins through Christ. Now here's the problem. There has always been, and there always will be, those who oppose freedom. Paul faced it in the actions of the Judaizers. Luther faced it in the Catholic Church. Lincoln fought it on the fields of Gettysburg. Our president in the 1960s inaugural address warned the enemies of liberty. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we will pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty. And this is the message that's being played out on the streets of Baghdad. And hopefully will continue everywhere women wear burqas and people kill innocent children and adults in the name of a false god. You know, imams have been quoted as saying that our freedom as Americans is what is most offensive to Islam. And that's why if we survive as a nation, a free nation, we will never be at peace with Islam, because who we are offends them. Not what we do, it's who we are, our freedom. Now, you and I probably will never know whether the blood that we have spilled on Middle Eastern deserts will have been worth it or not. You know, we probably won't know. You know, I watch the news and they have generals on there and they say, oh, it'll take 100 years for us to really see the fruits of this effort. And I'm not planning on being around then. I'm gonna be home with Jesus with any luck, sooner rather than later. But anyway, honestly, it never ceases to amaze me why some people prefer bondage, dictatorship, and control over democracy and freedom. And I think it's because there are only three kinds of people in this world. Two of them are related. There are those who have a need to control. And there are those who have a need to be controlled. But there is a third kind. The person who is free and who wants everyone to take responsibility for themselves and for their own behavior. You know, in 1892, the mayor of Haverhill, Maine, was given a eulogy for a John Whittier's funeral, and he said this. He said, "Here," now he's giving a eulogy, "here we might be reminded that a man is most honored not by that which a city may do for him, but by that which he has done for the city." Now that was rephrased back in the 1960s by President Kennedy, and a lot of people give him the credit for that quote, but that was not his quote. It was back in 1892. And his quote, of course, was, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. But I laughed last week. Mother and I were driving down 61, and there's a beer distributor across the street from Faith Church, and they put up messages on their board. And it's usually something, I don't know, it's not like buy beer or anything, but it's you know, they change it, and it said, "Ask what you can do for yourself." And then the quote was John Galt. Well, I had to laugh to myself because John Galt is a fictitious character. John Galt is a character, the main character in a novel that was written in the 1950s. And it made me laugh that he was quoted. Now, if you have never read this novel, it is absolutely a must read. You have got, don't let the size fool, just don't let it scare you. But the novel was Atlas Shrugged. Anybody ever heard of it? Atlas Shrugged was a book written in the 50s, maybe even before I was born, by a woman who grew up in communist Russia, Ayn Rand. And it was circulated around college campuses back then because everybody was worried back then about losing our freedom. And it's a book about freedom. So if you've never read Atlas Shrugged, you need to go get Atlas Shrugged, and you need to pick it up and you need to read it. Because it's a book about freedom. But I want to celebrate our liberty today, but I don't want us to forget that it comes with great responsibility to serve. Now see if you know who said these words. "The choice before us is plain. Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it is now, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government." You know who said that? Peter Marshall. He was chaplain in the United States Senate a couple times. What about this one? "Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we should." John Paul II, Pope John Paul II. How about this one? "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." That was the second president of the United States, John Adams. I'm getting pretty depressed. How about, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Do you know who said this? I just found that out this week when I was researching this. Do you know who said this? There was a supporter of the American Revolution in the House of Commons during the American Revolution. He was a popular guy. And his name was Edmund Burke. Recognize the name? Anyway, he was in the House of Commons during the American Revolution, and he supported the revolution, and that's what he said. "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And finally we have the Apostle Paul. He understood the inseparable link between liberty and service. All these men did. Now Paul, after warning the Galatians not to go back to circumcision and the law of Moses, Paul then answers his critics who were charging him with teaching the Gentiles to indulge themselves in whatever behavior. Because that's, you know, he's like, well, that's just lawlessness, they said. But if you look at chapter 5 and verse 13, he said, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve, in other words. And after Paul's long defense of freedom in Christ, he launches into the fruits of the Spirit. I love this. I make the confirmands memorize this. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, self-control. The message is clear. Liberty and service are two parts of a whole. You know, there was a man by the name of Alexander Teitler, and he wrote a book, The Decline and Fall of the Athenian Republic. If you can read this book, God bless you. But it sends a chilling warning to us today. There's no way I can read this book. I mean, they wrote weird back then, and it's real hard. But anyway, he did say in his book that ancient democracies deteriorated because of selfishness in the hearts of the people that lived there. And he wrote, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations, and maybe this is like, he gets quoted most on this, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations is 200 years, and they progress with the following sequence. I know you've heard this before. From bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage. Now, you know as well as I that our nation has lost, maybe in the last 20, maybe 40 years, maybe 20, but 20 for sure, a lot of our greatness. We have lost gentleness and kindness. We have lost our integrity. And we have lost pretty much our attitude of selfless service. Many children are increasingly disobedient. They think nothing of talking back to their parents. And many young people have come to expect just the best of life handed to them without any effort on their part. And many, many adults are self-indulgent and not willing to be inconvenienced for the cause of righteousness. We live in that kind of society today. We know that. But we can break that cycle. We can. Don't let the abundance that we have acquired through liberty make us selfish or complacent. So I would like you to celebrate with me today, not just our liberty, but our heritage of self-sacrifice and service. We can change the world. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that you have given us freedom. And we pray that we would never take it for granted. And that the abundance that you have blessed us with does not encourage us to be apathetic. But that we would know that freedom comes with great responsibility and help us to step up to the plate. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.